Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap Podcast on a Monday, 12:30 lunchtime. If you're on your break, you want to call in, give us a call on the guest call in 858-956-3207. Again, guest call in 858-956-3207. Okay, so today we got a lot to cover. Michigan, Michigan State, obviously. We're going to talk all about the weekend's game. There was obviously a destruction, a domination by the Michigan Wolverines, 44-10. I mean, there's been a lot of people saying a whole lot of things. I'm sure we're going to cover a whole lot today. But to just keep it based on the game, this game, Michigan was outstanding. Shea Patterson throws for 384 yards, which was a record against Michigan State. It was very well documented by the Michigan staff as they spoke about it a few different times. And Shea played really well. His best game as a Michigan Wolverine by far. There's no comparison to what he did Saturday. He was fantastic. The wide receivers got open. The offensive line settled down after the first quarter. And they just played very good football. They did what they needed to do. They had a good game plan. I thought they, you know, the first quarter, Michigan State actually, and I talked about this yesterday, first quarter they did outstanding. They had a good game plan. But very much so how the season has been for them, they find themselves in situations where they play really, really well, and then they play really bad. And this was no different. This was no different in this game. They just could not answer the bell when Michigan started scoring. And what you have is another blowout loss for Michigan State. You know, and really, it gets to the point now, five straight losses, you have six losses on the season. And you got a lot of questions. You got a lot of questions on where this program will head. What do we do now? What do we do next? You know, I'd have to look at the overall records, guys, but I'm pretty sure in the last four seasons now, 2016, 17, 18, now 19, I think that Mark D'Antonio is 500. I'm pretty sure. It could be one game above, but I've been talking about this now for a few years. And when you look at an overall record that's around 500, after you're a team that's went to the college football playoff, you've won the Big Ten a few times, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable for this program. It's not acceptable for anyone that wants to be successful. And at this point, you have to ask yourself, what's the next move? And at this point, again, there's going to have to be some sort of decision you make because you can't keep it the way it is. Because basically what you're saying is, we're okay with being mediocre. I mean, that's what it is. And I know a lot of people will understand this conversation because when they talked about Michigan early, you know, the conversation was Jim Harbaugh's mediocre. Well, this is way different than that. This is truly mediocre or worse or less than average. So changes must happen for sure for Michigan State. I mean, I couldn't imagine after this season things staying the same. I truly couldn't. I can't fathom the thought of having the same coaches on this staff next year, whether it's shuffling again, whether it's keeping it the same. I couldn't ever imagine that this thing's staying the same. So, I mean, I know when Tyler gets on, we're going to talk about that a lot. I'm sure we're going to go over this game, but let's just be honest. There's a whole lot of things we got to talk about with Michigan State today. And that was a poor performance. And not only was it a poor performance, it was personal foul penalties. It was late hits. It was guys that had given up. It was foolish turnovers. It was guys that didn't want to be on that field anymore. And you can say whatever you want, but when you watch the game like I have three times now, that Michigan State football team, when there's any adversity that happens, they fold. And that's a proven fact. When you're a program that gets hit in the mouth and you fold and you quit, this is Brady Hoke. This is Rich Rodriguez. This is no different. It's just a team that wears different colors. And I've seen it. And Michigan State fans can get mad at me for saying that. They can get frustrated. They can say, oh, you know, it's just a Michigan fan. No, I'm telling you, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be a part of a program or rooting for a team where players give up, players do foolish things, coaching staff not prepared. And when anything goes wrong, the team just struggles the whole game. Tyler's with me. I know Tyler has a lot to say about it. I'm sure that it's going to be all positive, I think. And let's dive into it, Tyler. I mean, you know, obviously when you come on, let's dive into the Spartans. I mean, we could talk all day long about the game. I don't think people really want to hear that. I think they want to hear about what's next. The game's over now. I don't think we have to really go over it or break it down. Let's talk about Michigan State. What in the world's going on?
Well, I think what's next is you need to nut up or shut up. You know, at this point, it's something where you just put out the most gutless performance of the D'Antonio era. I don't give a crap about the Alabama game in the playoffs 4 years ago. When you look at that game, with Alabama's obviously a different animal, and, you know, Connor Cook was beat up. That is what it is. I don't care. This is the worst game of the Mark D'Antonio era. Easily the worst. And D'Antonio has a choice to make, all right? Right now, and it starts with recruiting. You have sat there and you have gotten by using less resources than everybody else. You have gotten by with beating Michigan just year in and year out for the most part. You have gotten by with, you know, the occasional upset of Ohio State. And right now, Ohio, like, you can do all the little brother, little sister, big brother crap you want. Ohio State's everybody's daddy in the Big Ten. And so you've gotten by competing with Ohio State. And that's big for what D'Antonio has at his disposal. You look at something where, what was it the other day? Michigan outspends Michigan State in recruiting by twice as much. And it showed. It was a product on the field. Because they've had terrible coaching in Brady Hoke and Rich Rodriguez, and Harbaugh was trying to right the ship, it's never been an issue, and no one's given a crap. And right now, it's an issue. Harbaugh, look, you and I have had plenty of talks about Harbaugh and his ability to coach. Look, I still don't think he's the greatest coach. I still don't know if I would put him ahead of D'Antonio, because he has more talent than D'Antonio right now. What I will say is Harbaugh is definitely a good coach, a very good coach, and when he gets the talent that he does, yeah, that's going to happen when you don't have any. And part of it is because of recruiting, who you've recruited, who you've brought in to help recruiting, and how that blew up on you. And I think that, you know, there are some changes that need to be made moving forward. The coaching staff, Russell at least needs to be reevaluated in some aspects. You know, the last two seasons, a phenomenal defensive coordinator. What happened this year, I have absolutely no idea, but it started to look like when Harlan Barnett was running the defense, or the last couple seasons of Narduzzi, it was really easy to pick apart the secondary. And that's what Tressel's, if that's what Tressel's plan looks like moving forward, then he needs to at least be demoted to linebackers coach again. Speaking of Harlan Barnett, you have to bring him back in, not as a position coach, not as a coordinator. You have to bring him in as your lead recruiter. You have to bring him in a Curtis Blackwell type role is what they need to do, because Harlan Barnett is a fantastic recruiter. He gets the type of kids that D'Antonio wants, and he gets those guys who exude leadership. And I think that's a big, big, big reason why Michigan State got their tank handed to them on Saturday. It's because they don't have any. You go back and you look at those winning teams that Michigan State had. You have Connor Cook, and then you have an Allen brother. And I know Michigan State has Matt, but he's not the leader that Jack Allen is. You had Shalique Calhoun. You had Max Buller. You had Curtis Drummond. You had these guys, and it's not just that you had these guys. You had these guys at every level. You had these guys at every level. In Michigan State right now, they've got a couple of guys like that. Like Raekwon Williams is fantastic, both his play, his leadership abilities. You don't really have anybody on the offense, though. You don't have anybody on the defense now that Tobachi is suspended. You don't have that leadership, and that goes back to the recruiting and what Michigan State needs to do to get better. You've got to recruit, A, better talent now to compete with Michigan, and B, you've still got to get those types of guys who can lead the program. Those are the two things that need to change, and it settles around recruiting. The coaching, fire everybody on the offensive staff not named Brad Salem, because I think Brad Salem's still calling the right plays. I don't think it's being executed properly, and that's on the position coaches. The defensive staff, fire Paul Haynes, fire, I think Terrence Samuel moved to defensive backs coach to help Paul Haynes, get rid of him, because Michigan State is the only program in the country that does not teach their defensive backs to turn their heads around, and that's a huge issue. Trey Person on one move. He can't hang one move with Peoples Jones. If he shakes her on two, fine. If he shakes her on double move, that type of stuff happens all the time. It happens in the NFL. He shakes you on one move and
well,
you fall
Peoples
over
Jones is
three
a lot
yards
better player.
Into the pattern.
Peoples Jones is a lot better player. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, when you come, he doesn't need more than one move
Peoples,
in that situation.
Peoples Jones can be a better player all he wants. He can be a better player all he wants. But if you can't hang three steps with a guy,
that's kind of
the
result.
The
Well, that's why you get the results you get. He's a better player. I mean, my point is this. You said a lot there, and there's a lot of great things you said. The one thing that we all need to realize is 2015 is over. And in 2015, Jim Harbaugh, when he comes in, that does change everything with recruiting because guess what? It's finally now where he has had players for a few years that have been with him, and that doesn't mean they're a great, great program. But as far as matching up against Michigan State, you're now competing against Jim Harbaugh, who's had kids now for multiple years, and he is in his fifth year. And Donovan's Peoples Jones is a three-year player now from Detroit who is brought in by this staff, and he's just a lot better player than what Michigan State has in the secondary. Ronnie Bell is a diamond in the rough where Michigan State's been – they find guys like Ronnie Bell. What Michigan actually did, they did a better job of finding a kid like that than maybe someone else did, and he's becoming a great player. He's developing. I think when you have someone like Roy Rountree helping out with the receivers, you have Josh Gattis, who's a younger guy helping with the receivers, who now they're starting to figure out his offense. They have better players, and they have a better staff fully right now. Michigan State, you said it. They got a lot of changes they need to make. But let's just be honest here. Let's be quite, 2015, I don't want to hear about Mark D'Antonio's pass anymore because let's just be honest, this Big Ten's way better now. This conference is better. This division's better. And now you got to compete to a much higher level than you did in 2012, 2013, and 14 because now you have guys that you have to compete against like Ronnie Bell. You got to compete against guys like Zach Charbonnet who are big-time players. You got to compete against guys who are five stars now coming to Michigan. And you also got to worry about the blue-collar kids in Michigan who are like, do I really want to go play for that anymore? I think I'd rather go down the road and play in Ann Arbor. So it's just tougher now. That doesn't mean Michigan State can't turn this around. I mean, that's the one thing I think Michigan people, right. I'm really tired of the media saying, oh, that's a changing of the, I mean, let's just calm down. It's one game. It's one season. And I fell into that trap before. I mean, look, I've seen Michigan dominate this series. I've seen Michigan State dominate. I don't care about that anymore. I care about what happens this year, what team is recruiting well, and what could happen in the future because of how they're recruiting. Michigan State is very far behind right now in recruiting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like I said, and that's a product of, I think a huge part of it was the collective mind. Michigan State was all in the same place, and right now that is not the case, and it's due to a plethora of reasons. Bill Beekman needs to realize that he needs to empty the wallet on recruiting in football. He really needs to, and it's going to – this one thing is going to go a long way in determining what type of athletic director he's going to be. He said a couple things in the past that I've really appreciated the fire and the intensity of it, and at the same time, he's also done things with some of the much smaller programs that make absolutely no sense. And so this football team, how he decides to handle recruiting, what he decides to give Mark D'Antonio, I think that's going to be a huge determining factor in whether or not he's going to have any success. Because right now, the basketball team, as long as Tom Izzo's there, is self-sustaining, and you don't really need to worry about much in that aspect. You've got to focus on football. And you've got to be willing to empty the pockets in recruiting. Like I said, that article I saw the other day, Michigan paying twice as much to recruit. It's evident.
Well, they have twice the amount of money. they have double the money or triple the money or quadruple the money, number one. My question to you, Tyler, is do they really even have it, though? I mean, Michigan State obviously is a big university. They have money. I'm not questioning that. My question is, do they really have the amount of money that people think? Are they just tight, like everyone says? The Spartan Nation always says that the Michigan State's too tight with football. They don't spend enough money on the stadium. They have all the, you know, they spent the money on the big scoreboards, but they didn't want to spend money on it, you know, expanding the stadium. All these things that everybody seems to have, you know, an opinion on. My question, Tyler, is do they really have the money, though? I mean, they might not really want to have the money to spend on football. I think it's two things. I don't think that it's an order of importance because you have such a good basketball program. I think football is very, very important to a lot of people, but it's not like how it is for Michigan. I mean, it's just not. But do you think that the funds are there and that's the problem? Is that part of the problem? They're not spending enough.
I think the funds are there. Not to necessarily put up the same type of funds that Michigan is, but you can definitely, I mean, you saw what Mark D'Antonio could do with what he's got right now. And he has done well. And so right now, like you said, though, it is changing. And Michigan State, I think they do have the money in part because they're so conservative. I mean, I've made a lot of stupid decisions with my money. And I started making smarter ones, and I started making a few smarter ones, and then I started making investments into other things. And my money, personally, it began to grow because I held up and I saved. And once I realized I was being stupid, I held up and I saved my money. Michigan State right now.
Sounds like the Detroit Tigers. We're saving our money for 5 years.
Yeah. Michigan State right now is paying Mark D'Antonio the 8th best salary in the Big Ten. Michigan State is paying half of what Michigan is in recruiting. Now, the thing is Michigan State is still, and a lot of people don't understand this, Michigan State is a top 20 program all time in college football. You go back and you can look at the championships and the wins and the conference titles and things like that. Look, those numbers don't stack up to Michigan, and I get that. But Michigan State is still a top 20 program in NCAA football. If you're a top 20 program, you have that money. And, well, they haven't spent a ton of money on the stadium. I don't really care about that. Even when Michigan State's doing well, the fans are a bunch of insert expletive here in regard to showing up when it gets a little chilly or when it gets a little wet. So I don't give a crap about expanding the stadium because you're obviously not going to keep bringing those people in. You know, 75,005 is enough. But they're expanding the part of the program into the Scandalera Center, into where the student-athletes are going to see it, into where Darius Snow is going to be suiting up next year. And that's the important thing. That's important as far as how Michigan State's spending their money. Like I said, they need to reallocate a little bit and stop being so uptight with it. Once they do that, they can compete with anybody in the Big Ten, with the exception of Ohio State, year in and year out. As long as you beat Ohio State, you know, a few times every decade, you know, three times, I'm cool with that because that's the expectation right now. But you have got to reallocate money. You have it. It is available because I find it really hard to believe that all of a sudden Penn State is coming out of nowhere in some aspects based upon the fact that their football program could have been looked as one that deserved the death penalty.
Well, yeah, I do agree with that. One thing that I think people need to understand is the things you said about Ohio State, that's all great, but we all know the game that matters the most for Michigan State. And if you cannot win that game against Michigan, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble because now.
Let me be clear really quick. I was just saying that's the ceiling right now. That is the ceiling. If you beat Ohio State a few times every decade, you're beating Michigan about half the time or a little bit more than that.
Right. I think when Mark D'Antonio had the right mentality, because what he realized is it's going to be a bear to out-recruit Michigan. He knew that. So his whole mentality has always been, we've got to beat Michigan. We've got to beat Michigan so we can get kids, the best kids in this state that are close to home, they'll come here. We can compete now against Michigan for the kids in Ohio that don't go to Ohio State. Kind of like Michigan, you know, was so successful under Lloyd Carr, and before that, you know, they got a great Ohio kid. And, you know, obviously now it's not happening. I mean, when Tressel came on board, you know, the floodgates from Ohio coming to Michigan, those kids, it didn't happen. You know, we just couldn't get those kids. And then what happened was Mark D'Antonio started getting Ohio kids, like a Greg Jones that, gosh, I wish we had him in Michigan, right? Right now, when you
Devon
get beat the way
Ringer.
You do. Sure. You know, there's the list is very long, you know, from players that have. Yeah, I mean, a Connor Cook would have been great for Michigan. Look at the struggles at quarterback that Michigan has had, and that would have been a perfect fit, you know, to have Connor Cook playing for Brady Hoke, who's an Ohio guy too. I mean, it would have been a great, great steal for us. Instead, Mark D'Antonio took over that rivalry, beat Michigan down, and kids wanted to go to Michigan State. Now they said, I don't want to go play for Ohio State because they don't want me, obviously. I want to go to Michigan State and have a chance to beat Ohio State. Now the tides are changing again. And that's scary for Michigan State. When you consistently lose to Michigan, whether it's 2 years in a row, 3 years, 4 years in a row, it doesn't matter so much of it, you losing. It matters how it looks. And that was the big thing Saturday, was not only did you lose by a lot,
it was
all the things that people – all the – well, not only that, is kids like flash. And when your quarterback's throwing for 384 yards, you see guys like Ronnie Bell in space making plays. You know, you see interceptions. You see excitement, enthusiasm. I will say this about Jim Harbaugh. It's the only thing I want to say about Harbaugh. He has changed this year. He finally turned it around. He's not as boring. There's a little more enthusiasm. He kind of is turning into that guy that we probably thought he was always going to be. You know, you see him on the sidelines pumping his fist. That's just who Jim Harbaugh really is. He rubs people the wrong way, but you know what? He has to show that positive attitude, that energy, and kids see that. And that was the thing that was alarming. I go, wow, this is for Michigan State on that end. You know, kids are watching this and they're saying, boy, I would love to play in the Big House. I mean, that's just how this thing works. College football is an animal when you got to recruit. You got to do everything right. I mean, you could slip up one day and you could lose a kid that could really make the difference. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not going to be these media members and get out of hand. We don't know really what's going to fully happen. I mean, just think about it. After the Wisconsin game, I thought this Michigan team looked absolutely terrible. I mean, I thought they were horrible. I thought that everything that I seen in that game showed that this offense isn't going to work. Things happen. Things change. Michigan State needs to win these next two games. They need to win their bowl game. They need to play these young kids and find a way to get new kids ready for next year. That would
Absolutely.
Be very positive for them. That would be huge
yeah.
for them. I mean, this is a big finish for them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In regards to a bowl game, I think it does. Just making a bowl game, here's the thing, is I think there's way too many bowl games. It needs to be cut down. But, I mean, you and I, we've had long conversations about the NCAA off air, and we're not going to get into that today. But we know why there's so freaking many bowl games.
Right.
What it is for Michigan State is you have a young center, a true freshman center, Nick Samet. You have a left guard in J.D. Duplain. You have a stud in Devontae Dobbs, the highest-rated recruit. You have Julian Barnett. He's a freshman. You have so much young talent on the offense that is not playing right now, that if you can preserve their red shirt, or if they've already been burned, is how you would probably have to play it. Like Devontae Dobbs, I think, still has a game or two left. So if you play him two games, that's fine, and then you sit him for the bowl game, who gives a crap? But you can get those 13 extra practices in with him. You can get those 13 extra practices in with Peyton Thorne, who, when Lewerke got his bell rung against Illinois, then according to Jim Comperoni, I believe it was, Antonio didn't say get Rocky or Theo Day ready. He said get Peyton Thorne ready. And Peyton Thorne's a true freshman. With the new redshirt rule of the NCAA, you can play four games. Well, guess what? Michigan State has two, potentially three games left. Throw him into the fire. Let's
yeah.
see what he can do. And, you know, not only that, you can get the excitement built for next season. Michigan State's losing a lot on defense, but they still keep around Antoine Simmons. They'll still have Jacob Ponashuk, you know, so there's going to be some blocks, and Xavier Henderson, there's still going to be some blocks in place for some pretty good players. I think Shakir Brown's a good player, a freak athlete. If he can, again, like I said about the defensive backs, just get his head turned around. Look, there's reasons for optimism if, you know, Peyton Thorne comes in, and I get it's Rutgers and Maryland, but if you run the train on them with a true freshman quarterback and you have a young offensive line and you have Elijah Collins, who's a freshman, and Julian Barnett, who's a freshman, lined up on the outside, if you have that happening, look, next year it could still be brutal because the schedule, you thought Michigan State's schedule this year was brutal, next year's is even worse. And I'm not going to lie, but if you go, you know, 2 years from now when Thorne is a junior and Collins is a junior and Barnett is a junior and you have that stable on your offense and you have an offensive line that's all juniors and seniors, now all of a sudden you're competing for the Big Ten again. If these guys obviously develop properly, which again goes to my Fire Warner, Fire Bowman, Fire Staten mentality.
Yes. Right. You can talk about players all you want. You got to have the guys teaching them. You know, it doesn't matter at this point. I mean, if you don't have the coaching,
the talent is based upon recruiting, which we all know how hit and miss that can be. But the talent should be there based upon recruiting this season. I think this season was one of Mark D'Antonio's best recruiting jobs as far as.
And they were still eighth in the Big Ten. That's the problem. You know, that's my problem, Todd. Here's my point.
My point is this,
and Michigan State people don't want to wake up, Tyler. You guys got to wake up. And Michigan State, you get it, but I think a lot of people don't. You have to get someone on your staff who can really help rejuvenate recruiting. And you had said Harlan Barnett could be a big add, and that probably could be true. It's not the players, even though they may be a little lesser than the top teams, it's the coaching so bad that the players who maybe are just even or even a little less are going to get smoked on the football field. That's the difference. Right now, here's the other thing. You lose players every year. What happens? A new kid comes in. Here's a prime example. What were we worried about with Michigan? We are losing David Long. Oh, my gosh, our other corner opposite LeVert Hill is going to be terrible. What happens? Avery Thomas gets sick. You go, oh, my God, we don't even have a corner on the other side. Vincent Gray looked fantastic. They played him a lot. What happens? Avery Thomas comes back. He gets an interception in a rivalry game. He's had a couple picks this year. He's looked fantastic. That's coaching. That's a player who's pretty good, not great, but is getting coached up well. What happens at linebacker? We lose Josh Ross. Oh, my gosh, we don't have a linebacker. Cam McGrone comes out, hasn't played at all last year. He's a better player than Josh Ross. He has developed better. And that's the difference right now. You got to find that. Michigan State's had a lot of injuries. A few kids have stepped up. I think Julian Barnett, why the heck was he not playing all year? This kid is unbelievable. I can't believe he wasn't used right away. I mean, that was kind of my thing with Cam McGrone. I couldn't believe they didn't play him from the first game on. He's a way better player than Josh Ross is. So not only is it developing talent, it's judging talent. You got to know who your best kids are. I think Michigan State coaching staff is an absolute atrocity. I think that it's a failure to the fan base. I think it's killing this program. I think they're not developing at all on the defensive side. I mean, we can talk offense all we want. Michigan State is known for its defense, and this defense is bad right now. And Tyler has said it, and he is absolutely right. You can blame Brian Lewerke all you want. You can blame the offense all you want. When you can't tackle and you give up bubble screens and laterals passes to the receiver and you give up 25 yards, 15 yards, when it's third and 20 and the tight end goes down the seam, that is defense. That is straight problems on the defense. And that's where Michigan State has had a staple in their program. Defense, defense, defense. And this defense has went downhill. And that is coaching because they have a lot of talent on that defense. And it's disappointing. I mean, even though I'm not a Michigan State guy, those defenders were flying around the field at the beginning of this year. And I just was like, that's a tough defense. And everything has changed. So Tyler mentioned it earlier. You got to get new coaches. You got to find a way to recruit better. You got to get some spice back in this program. You might need to get a couple of new people. You might need to get outside the box, kind of like Michigan did with Gattis. I think it's more defensive side. Dave Warner has got to go. I mean, we know that. But Brad Salem's, I'm going to actually side with you, Tyler. As much as I think he struggled at times, I don't think you get rid of him.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, what's what in regards to that? Because, look, the offensive line is terrible. So that affects Lewerke, who just last year playing through that injury, I think, mentally ruined him. Because now you see him, when he plays well, he plays really well. You look at, you know, what he's done against Ohio State, and like, look, I get Michigan State got blown out and everything else, but he played very well against Ohio State. And you look at that type of stuff, but then when things start going a little bit bad, it snowballs on him in a way that he can't recover. The Illinois game, he was ripping Illinois apart. And then, I mean, part of that may have been he got hit, but he starts seeing Illinois come back, and it just snowballed on him. He threw an interception that wasn't necessarily his fault. Cody White ran the wrong route, was supposed to curl in, instead tried to peel to the outside towards the sideline, and he ended up throwing a pick six, and it was curtains for Lewerke at that point. And so it's just been one of those things where, yeah, he's had some issues, but Salem, I mean, he's calling the plays. He's getting guys in the right spot. Like I say, Cody White turns around, he catches that ball. You know that game's over. Michigan State probably one game closer to bowl eligibility. He called a great game against Ohio State, but you count the seven drops Michigan State had. You know, that's a little bit of a difference. And so he's called it good. I don't want to say the jury's still out because I think he's done a really good job this season. But, look, they have struggled at times, and he needs to go with what he has available. At the same time, he doesn't have much available due to the injuries. You know, Brian Lewerke was missing three of his top four, or Salem, whoever we're talking about. Both those guys were missing three of their top four receivers on Saturday. And so you've got to find – and they started out getting the ball to Cody White, and they did a really good job with it. Then eventually, you know, things started snowballing. Then Lewerke started playing like crap. That's not on Salem for that. And so I think he's done a good job this season, and I think it's something that, while the numbers aren't sexy and while it doesn't look much better than last season, I think he's done a great job getting his players in the places that they need to be.
I think he's had some really good moments. I mean, I think that it's easy for us to just say a guy's terrible or that's a horrible offensive coordinator. If you really watch the season, which we have, you know, he's had some really good stuff. I mean, I thought Arizona State, the only problem he had was when they got close to the red zone. But you got to remember, I mean, if we're going to give Josh Gattis all this credit, and there's penalties, and you also got to remember if Josh Gattis is getting all this credit now, you know, he was a very terrible at the beginning of the season as well. He didn't know what to call against Army. They did not use the right stuff through the passing game at the beginning of the season. And the players did have a lot of turnovers and penalties as well. So there's a whole lot that comes into this football. It's very easy to be narrow-minded and say, oh, the coaching is really, really bad. Well, there's some things that are good for Michigan State. And I do think Brad Salem has some creativity. There is times when he gets a little vanilla, but I think a lot of that has to do with what you just said, Tyler, the offensive line's bad. So you can't run a whole lot of stuff when your offensive line can't block. I mean, you can't get too creative when simple plays they can't block for, and that's because of inexperience and injuries. I mean, let's just be honest. But moving forward, I mean, look, you know, there's two games. You got to win them. You said it best. You can play a lot of young kids. You can still not burn red shirts. That was a lot of the things that were said that I read about, you know, after the game. There's a lot of young kids that played. I think it was 12 freshmen that played in the game, and most of them don't have to burn that red shirt. So there's a lot of positive on that end. You have to look at some of the positive, and that would be one for Michigan State. But as far as the staff, we're all on the same page here. You got to make changes. You got to move forward. You keep the people that you know you can trust in there. And the people you have to trust are the people that watch the game. I think Brad Salem deserves another shot. I think Dave Warner is overstayed is welcome. I think Trussell's overstayed is welcome. I think the offensive line coach definitely needs to take a hike. I think the strength coach needs
Trussell's
to take a hike. I know that.
Is welcome.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, when you give up the type of, you know, passing that they have, and you give up, you know, late fourth quarter meltdown against Illinois should set it all right there. I mean, that's just incredible to me.
At the same time, though, the last two seasons, he's had a top ten defense in college football. And so what I said about Tressel is he doesn't need to go, but he needs to be reevaluated. I think Tressel falls on that fine line where the last two seasons were so phenomenal, and he was mixing things up, and he was disguising coverages and blitzes, and he's not doing that so much this season. And so I think he needs to be reevaluated, because he does look a lot like Harlan Burnett calling the plays right now. And last year we didn't see it where it was that bad. And so he's shown he can do some good things. He's done good things 67% of the time he's been in this position, two of the three seasons, this year obviously being the outlier. And so just reevaluate him. But look, Ron Burton, the defensive line coach, he stays. Tressel, like I said, stays, but maybe is reevaluated in some aspects because he was the linebackers coach before, and we know how well Michigan State's developed linebackers at the college level. And then Brad Salem hangs around. Everybody else is fair game, though. Everybody else should be on the chopping block.
Yeah. No, there's no question. And I know we'll talk more about it. I know we got a lot of basketball to cover. We'll wait after tonight's game. Charleston Southern and the Spartans will play. Obviously, Michigan's 3-0, but they haven't played anybody. We'll find a lot about Michigan basketball when they play at Iowa State, at Louisville, and at home against Oregon. Those three games will say a whole lot about where this basketball team is right now. I don't see them winning, honestly, any of them. I just don't think they're very good right now. That's just my honest opinion. I don't think they have any depth. Michigan State was outstanding in some areas against Seton Hall. Big win for them. Malik Hall, I mean, that's a big one right there. That's a young kid stepping up, and we weren't even talking about him, and he was fantastic. So, Tyler, we'll jump more. Yeah, I know you were excited. I mean, I thought that, you know, I was obviously on the Bingham trail, you know, and obviously you were right on that one. He's just still not ready. So Malik Hall, big opportunity for him to step up, and he does in a big game because Seton Hall is no joke. I mean, they are very good. That's a team that could make some noise in the tournament. So that was a big win for Michigan State. But we'll wait till after tonight and talk some more basketball either tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm sure we'll add some more football, but we'll really try to get more into some basketball because we are getting towards the latter end football season. But, hey, we still do have two games left. Michigan's got a big one against Indiana. They really got to be careful on that one. Indiana is really good. They've given them problems for years. We've had multiple close wins against Indiana. You cannot overlook them. They play Penn State extremely tough on the road as well. But the big one, obviously, in 2 weeks against Ohio State. Yeah, Michigan State did beat Indiana. You know, that's surprising. Honestly, when you look at things, the way this season has gone, that's a big win for Michigan State for some reason.
Really,
I never would have thought I'd say that. Yeah.
Indiana,
but,
know,
yeah, we'll
– for the first time since Friends debuted.
Yeah, right. We'll talk some more about some basketball in the next upcoming days. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Thanks for tuning in. Obviously, we covered a lot with football today. Check out the Facebook page, Trouble with Snap Podcast. We will cover a lot more basketball, though, so get excited behind that. There's a lot of things to talk about with this party. They look great, and we'll touch more on that in the next few days. Thanks again for tuning in, Trouble with Snap Podcast.